Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, with you for an hour of comedy from the holidays. Later on, we'll hear George Burns and Gracie Allen, but right now it's Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, with Lillian Randolph, Walter Tetley, and more, this NBC broadcast from December 22nd, 1948.
Leroy.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve. Let's see what's doing at the Great Gildersleeve's house this morning.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la.
Well, the great man seems as jolly as Santa himself as he and his niece and nephew move the furniture around the parlor to make room for the Christmas tree.
La-dee-dee. Leroy, give me a hand with this couch. I'll lift and you shove.
Okay, Unc. I'll hold down the rug, Unky.
All right, Marjorie. Leroy, on the count of three, push. One. Two. Leroy, I thought you were going to push.
You never got to three.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's far enough anyway, Unky. It's more room than we had last year.
Well, we need more room. It's baby's first Christmas, so we're going to have a bigger tree than we've ever had.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
You bet. Her real parents may not be around to provide these things, but by George, it's going to be a Christmas she'll remember.
At 9 months? I don't remember anything till I was 6 years old.
I could answer that, Leroy, but I feel too good this morning. Well, better get going after that tree.
Hey, Unc, can I go along?
Sure, Leroy. We'll need a lot of hands to get this tree home.
Oh, boy.
Well, if you get a larger tree, we'll need an extra string of lights.
Lights. Oh, yes. I'll pick them up at Peavy's when I go downtown.
Unky, can I invite Francie and the gang over when we light the tree? We'll have a party.
Yeah, and can I ask Piggy and Craig?
No, children, this Christmas Eve is going to be different. It's going to be just for the little family. And Miss Fairchild.
Miss Fairchild?
Well, of course, Leroy. We're engaged, you know. She's almost a member of the family.
I think a little family party is a good idea. And, Unky, when you get the tree, don't forget to buy some mistletoe.
Mistletoe? Well, if you think it'll make a nice decoration around the house, I'll get some. Of course, it doesn't make any difference to me. Leroy? Get your overshoes on and let's get going after that tree.
Okay.
See you later, Marjorie. Better say goodbye to the baby before I go.
Bertie's giving her a bath upstairs.
Yes, I know. Deck the halls with boughs of mistletoe. Fa la 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 la. La 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 la.
Hold still now, baby. Let Bertie wash your back.
Well, you seem to have your hands full, Bertie.
I sure have, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, baby. Kitchy-coo. Are you enjoying your bath this morning? Well, you're getting to be quite a splasher, aren't you? Oh! Suds right in my eye. I better get out of here before I get the bath. Bye-bye, baby. I'm on my way to get your first Christmas tree.
I saw some fine trees down at the corner market, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, well, thanks, Bertie, but Judge Hooker asked me to buy our Christmas tree from a friend of his. Young man, he's helping to get started here in town.
Well, that's nice of the judge. How many people are you going to have over this Christmas Eve, Mr. Gildersleeve? I'd like to know how many to fix for.
This year, Bertie, there'll be just the family and Miss Fairchild.
You mean none of your downtown friends are dropping in?
I'll ask them over sometime during the holidays, but I'm not inviting any extra people for Christmas Eve.
I didn't think they needed much of an invitation.
Well, Christmas Eve is going to be different this year, Bertie. Just for the little family. Even Santa Claus won't get in, unless he has a pass.
Look at all the trees.
Yeah, the lot's full of them.
What color are we going to get this year? White, blue, purple, or pink?
We're going to get green, Leroy. It's baby's first Christmas, and we don't want to scare her. Now, where is the judge's friend?
Maybe that's him waiting on that lady.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Hey, how about this tree, Unc? Huh? It's a whopper. How about it?
Our tree doesn't have to be that tall, Leroy. They charge by the foot, you know.
But, Unc...
All right, let's see the price tag. $7? It must be charging per needle.
Too high, huh?
Yeah, well, after Christmas, we want to feel that we can afford to throw it away, Leroy. Come on, my boy, let's get out of the tall timber.
Gosh, I want a big tree.
Well, leave it to me, Leroy. Now then, here's one that looks about right for our little parlor. Not as tall, but it's nice and chubby. Well filled out in the top. How about it, Leroy?
Yeah, not bad, Unc.
Sure, this is the one for us. And the price is only... Still, Leroy, when you stand back and look at it, maybe it isn't quite the tree for us.
What did the tag say?
$10. It's a prettier tree, though.
Well, did you find one you like?
Oh, you Bob Clark?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, City Water Commissioner.
Yes, I know.
You do?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Pleasure to meet you. This is my nephew, Leroy.
Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Judge Hooker asked us to come down and have a look at your trees.
Well, that's a fine tree you're looking at. It's a silver tip.
For $10, it must be silver-plated.
Well, like everything else, tree prices are a little high, I guess.
Let's take it, Unc. What do you say, huh?
Well...
I think it's a pick of the lot, Mr. Gildersleeve. The judge said you should have a tree like this.
Oh, the judge did he?
I think the judge is right, Unc.
Oh, for... Can't the judge let me pick out my own Christmas tree? What an old busybody.
Well, you see...
Well, I'll take it. Here's your $10.
Oh, no. No, that's been taken care of, Mr. Gildersleeve.
It has?
Judge Hooker asked for the bill. He said to say Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Well, fine old fellow, the judge.
Well, I certainly think so. It isn't everyone who'd do as much for a fellow as the judge has done for me.
Huh?
He's even found me a good job in a market starting the first of the year.
Yeah, that's the judge, all right. None better.
I'll carry the tree over to the car for you, Mr. Gildersleeve, and help you tie it on.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, he's a nice fellow, isn't he, Leroy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice thing the judge did, too. But he shouldn't have bought our tree. He's always so helpful around the holidays when he gets lonesome. Leroy, I told you and Marjorie we weren't going to invite anybody over at Christmas Eve, but what do you say we make one exception and invite the judge?
Sure. He always brings swell presents. Yeah.
Leroy, that's not the spirit. Wonder what he'll bring me. Hurry up, Floyd. I could shave myself faster than this.
What's a rush, Commish? Rome wasn't burned in a day.
I have things to do, Floyd. I want to get some lights for my Christmas tree before they're all gone.
Hey, well, let me catch that stray whisker on your chin.
Mm-hmm.
There. Got a pretty nice tree, Commish?
You bet. Uh-huh. I can't wait to see the baby's eyes light up when she sees it. It's her first Christmas, you know.
Sort of like the kid, don't you, Commish?
Well, she'll do.
How long's it been since you found her in the back of your car?
It's been about 3 months now, I guess. She's about 9 months old, Floyd.
That's a great age. Funny you never heard anything from the parents.
It'll be all right with me if we don't. You're just like a member of our little family now.
Yeah, kids kind of get you all right. Okay, Commissioner, you're finished. That's all we can do for that face without plastic surgery.
Yes, yes.
You have an open house this year, Commish?
No, Floyd. I decided this Christmas Eve would be just for the family. You understand?
Oh, sure, yeah. Kind of hoped we'd get together and sing carols, but if you ain't having any outsiders in, I understand.
Well, I may as well tell you, Floyd, the judge is coming over.
Oh? Judge, huh?
Well, you see, Floyd, I just had to invite him. He gave us the tree.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mr. Gildersleeve, you're through.
Yeah, but, Floyd, the judge paid $10 for that tree. I couldn't ignore that.
Of course, I'm just a hard-working barber.
What?
We always got together in the past, but if you're throwing a party and just letting in the upper crust, $10 cover charge, I guess that lets me out.
Floyd, it isn't that at all.
It's okay.
Floyd, don't look so sad.
Well...
You know how it is with a judge. He never has any place to go on Christmas Eve.
Well, the missus has a choir rehearsal at the church that night, and I don't have any place to go either. But that's okay. You don't find little Floydie Munson crashing in where he ain't wanted.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Floyd, how would you like to drop by my house Christmas Eve?
Well, if you really want me.
Sure.
Okay, Commish, what time?
Gildersleeve, the trouble with you is you can't say no. While I'm at it, I guess I should invite Peavy and Chief Gates. No, Peavy's mother-in-law is in town, and if he brought her, I'd... No, sir, Peavy's out. I just won't say anything to Peavy and the chief. Nothing at all. I'll invite him over New Year's to listen to the Rose Bowl game. Well, hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
Peavy, I need a string of Christmas tree lights.
Oh, you must be going to have a Christmas tree.
Yes, Peavy. Leroy and I got a fine one this morning. Have you bought yours yet?
Well, we're not having a tree this year. We're having Mrs. Peavy's mother instead.
What?
We always have to forego a tree when Mother Higgins comes for the holidays. They make her sneeze.
Oh. Well, that's too bad, Peavy. Now, let's see your lights.
Very well, they're over at this counter, Mr. Gildersleeve. Yes, I always like to be around a tree for a little while come Christmas Eve. You're going to have one, you say?
Well, yes, Peavy. Say, you have quite a collection of lights. Which type do you recommend?
Well...
How about these round ones?
They're very nice if you like the round ones.
Mm-hmm. How about these pointed ones?
They're nice. They have their points.
Oh, brother. Oh, Peavy, here's something new. Bubble candles. Are they any good?
They bubble.
Peavy, you're quite a salesman. I can't resist you. I'll take a string of the ones that bubble. The baby will like those. But I'd like to test them first.
Very well. You hold up the string and I'll plug you in. There.
Yeah, look, Peavy, they bubble.
That's what I say.
Well, what's going on here?
Oh, hello, Judge.
Oh, hello, Judge.
Gentlemen. My, that's a pretty sight, Gildy. With all those lights draped around you, you look just like a big fat Christmas tree.
Horace, I don't know how you can be such an old goat and such a nice guy at the same time. That was wonderful of you to buy the tree for our little family.
Happy to do it, Gildy. And by the way, I saw Leroy and he extended me your kind invitation to come...
Judge, we'll discuss that later.
What's the matter, Gildy? Is it such a big secret that you've invited me over for Christmas Eve? Isn't everybody coming?
Would you gentlemen like me to step in the back room?
Yeah. Peavy, we're having just a quiet family Christmas Eve. But the judge presented us with a tree and we appreciate it, so we invited him over. Well, how much are the lights?
How much? It's Christmas, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'd like to present you with these lights compliments of Peavy's Pharmacy.
Oh, for... Peavy, how would you like to drop in for a little while Christmas Eve?
Are you sure I won't be one too many?
Oh, no. In fact, I might as well invite Chief Gates, too.
By the way, Gildy, I wonder if I could bring someone.
Judge, this is just a family party for the baby and the kids. And Adeline, of course. And you and Floyd and Peavy and the chief. Oh, well, bring him along. Who is it?
If I may, I'd like to bring the young man you got the tree from.
You mean Bob, whatchamacallit?
Bob Clark. Splendid young man. Veteran. Recently lost his wife. Has no friends in the community as yet, and it'd be a nice gesture, Gildy, if you admitted him to your family circle on Christmas Eve.
Well, all right, Judge. I sort of like Bob. Bring him along. What the heck? It's Christmas.
That's very nice of you, Gildy.
The more the merrier, they say.
Yes, yes. Peavy, I suppose you want to bring your mother-in-law, too?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. He'd planned to confine this Christmas Eve just to the family circle. But, as usual, he has widened the circle to include all his friends. It's after dinner now, and the great Gildersleeve sits before the tree with baby Romery on his lap, enjoying a quiet hour before the guests arrive.
By George, there's no time like Christmas. It certainly is nice to have you with us, baby. You're cute. I don't know how we'd ever get along without you. See all those presents there under the tree? A lot of them are for you. There's some for Leroy, some for Marjorie and Bertie. But do you know what my Christmas present is this year? Yeah, that's right, you. Yeah. Yes, sir, baby, you're the biggest thing that ever happened to me.
What's going on in here? A private party?
Oh, no, Marjorie. We're waiting for you and Leroy. Where is he?
Hi, Unc. What's up?
It's time for our little family get-together, Leroy, before the guests arrive.
Unky, who's this Bob Clark the judge is bringing over?
The young fellow the judge is helping to get started. He's a little old for you, Marjorie. Well, hand me the book, my dear. It's time to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to you children.
You're going to read that again, Unc?
Of course. Naturally, Leroy, I do it every year, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's a tradition in this household, and we're going to observe it. Anyone who doesn't want to hear it can just leave.
Okay, I'll go upstairs.
You will not. You'll stay right here and listen, and you'll enjoy it. You understand?
Sure. Here's the book.
Thank you. You see, baby? There's a picture of Santa Claus. Yeah. You sort of like chubby fellows, don't you? Well, then, are we all settled?
I am.
Leroy?
Sure. If you get stuck, let me know.
Yeah. All right, my boy. Now, 'twas the night before Christmas, but all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Hey, I wonder if Bertie would lend me a pair.
Leroy, please. Well, then, where were we? Oh, yes. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. To his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew, like the down off a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight,
Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Hi, George, that's a great poem.
I love it. Yeah, not bad, Unc.
Look, the little baby's asleep. Better take her up to bed, Marjorie. We'll bring her down when we light the tree, huh?
All right, Unky. Come to Marjorie, baby.
Uh-oh, here they come.
Well, don't open the door till I get her upstairs.
All right, Leroy, go put your coat on. The guests are coming.
Okay, Uncle.
Coming!
Well, is this where St. Nicholas lives?
Come on in, Judge. Nice to see you. Look at all the packages. And Bob. Well, I didn't see you back there. Merry Christmas, my boy.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Gildersleeve. It's awfully nice of you to invite me. You sure I won't be one too many?
No, the more the merrier. Besides, you can help me, Bob.
I can?
You bet. We need a tall young fellow to put the star at the top of the tree.
Well, fine.
Judge, you know where to hang your earmuffs.
Yeah.
Take Bob's coat. And Bob, you come with me.
Sure thing, Mr. Gildersleeve. Oh, say, where do you want me to put this little present I brought for the baby?
A present for the baby? Oh, you shouldn't have done it. Uh-uh, business is getting good. Excuse me, Bob. By George, this is the way to spend Christmas Eve.
Hey, Commissioner, let's light the tree.
Yes, Commissioner, I have to go down and relieve the desk sergeant so he can go home and play Santa Claus.
Well, I'm sorry, Chief, but Adeline isn't here yet.
Hey, that's right.
By the way, Gildy, before everyone arrives, I'd like to have a word with you about Bob.
About Bob?
Yes, Gildy. The reason I'm so interested in this young man...
Tell me later, Judge. That must be Adeline.
Hey, gang, it's Miss Fairchild. Let's everybody get under some mistletoe and see which one she smacks first. Yeah.
Careful, Floyd, or you'll get the smack from me. Adeline, come in.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, Throckmorton, but I wanted to get all prettied up for the party.
Yeah, don't be sorry about a thing. It's Christmas Eve. All together now.
Merry Christmas!
To you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Peavy. Gracious, what a reception.
Why, certainly. Very pretty young lady. Come on, Adeline, I want you to see the tree.
Care to stand over here by me, Miss Fairchild?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Munson, but I see that mistletoe behind your ear.
She's on to you, Floyd.
I think I'll just sit over here by Mr. Peavy, where I'll be safe.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Now, Peavy.
Oh, Throckmorton, I think the tree is beautiful.
Yeah, silver tip. It's pretty all right. We have the old judge to thank for that.
Hey, come on. Come on, everybody. Let's have another song.
Okay, one chorus for Adeline. Come on, fellas.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la.
Learn that sometime. Okay, let's light the baby's tree now, huh?
Well, shall I get her for you, Uncle Mort?
No, Marjorie, I'd like to bring her down myself.
Well, I think Mr. Clark's up there with her now.
Bob? He is?
Uh-huh, he asked to see her, and she was awake anyway, so I thought it'd be all right.
Oh, sure. Well, gather around the tree, everybody. I'll be right back.
Here's another batch of popcorn, Bob.
Oh, boy, come and get it!
Yeah, Leroy, save one for me. Yes, sir, there's no time like Christmas. Great little party.
Gildy.
Huh? What is it now, Judge?
I want to talk to you about Bob.
Judge, you've already talked to me. He's a fine young fellow. And after the first of the year, I promised to trade at his market. Now, are you satisfied?
Gildy.
You better get back to the party before the popcorn's all gone. just listen to the fun they're having down there. Gildersleeve, you're a mighty lucky man. Good friends and a fine little family. Marjorie, little Leroy. And our little baby. Yes, sir. This is the best Christmas Eve I've ever had. Well, Bob must have brought her a music box. I'll peek in and see how they're getting along.
Well, baby doll, I'm glad you like the music box.
Well, look at him in there.
I hope I can give you a lot of presents as you grow older. That is, if Mr. Gildersleeve will give you back to me.
Give her back?
And I think he will. He's a swell fellow, baby doll. If I hadn't been sure of that, I never would have left you in his car. That sounds like a terrible thing to do, doesn't it? But after we lost your mother, I didn't know what to do. All I could think of was to get you in a good home where you'd be loved and cared for. Well, I went away and tried to get straightened out. Well, when you get a little older, I'll try to explain it to you.
So that's what the judge was trying to tell me.
I hope Mr. Gildersleeve will see it our way. It'll be pretty much up to him whether or not you come back to your daddy. But I can make a home for you. And your grandmother's coming. You'll like her.
My little baby. He can't take her away from me. Why did he have to come back here?
Are you ready, Yucky? We're waiting.
Gildy, where are you going?
I'm going for a walk.
Gildy, wait for me. The most thorough investigation of Bob and the circumstances surrounding the case, bringing you together seemed the only thing to do, Gildy. The hard part, of course, was trying to tell you. I'm sorry, Gildy.
You've been very considerate, Horace, of all of us.
Now it's up to you to decide what you want to do about it.
I know, Horace. I know.
You could put up a fight for her.
Let's go back in the house, Judge, before we both catch pneumonia. I know what I'm going to do.
been?
I needed some air, Leroy.
Well, hurry, Unky. Bertie's going to sing her lullaby.
Oh, well, fine.
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Huh? Oh. What is it, Bob?
Wouldn't you like to hold the baby?
Yes, Bob, I think I would. Thank you. Little baby.
Now lay thou little tiny child, bye-bye, lolly,
let's light the tree, huh?
Yeah, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, come on, Gilda, let's light the tree.
One moment, everyone. Please. Before we light the tree, there's something I'd like to say. All of us wanted to make sure our little baby had a wonderful first Christmas. Well, it's turned out to be more wonderful than any of us ever anticipated. The baby's father has joined us on this Christmas Eve. He's a fine young man, and I know he'll provide a good home for the baby. Here you are, Bob, your little daughter.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve, for everything. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Now, Bertie, it isn't as though we won't be seeing. She'll be right here in town. Well, what's everybody so quiet about? This is a very happy Christmas for all of us. Father and his daughter have just been reunited. Let's light the tree and sing our carol.
Anything you say, Commissioner.
Gildy, this is a big thing you've done tonight.
Oh, Unky, I'm so proud of you.
Now, my dear.
Gosh, I'm going to miss the little kid.
Leroy, stay close to me.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas, and God bless you.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday from December 22, 1948 on NBC. Part of the program's plot on the sitcom was a mystery baby that was dropped off in September of 1948 to kick off that season, and a subsequent contest was held to name the Gildersleeve baby. It was with that last broadcast that the identity of the baby's father was established and the contest came to an end. You are listening to an hour of Christmas broadcasts on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now Burns and Allen, an early CBS broadcast of theirs from December 23rd, 1936. It's Gracie's Christmas Carol.
And here are George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Gracie, say hello to everybody.
Yeah, hello, Tony.
Hello, Tony. That's everybody?
Well, everybody that matters, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I think I know what you mean.
Well, never mind saying hello to us, Gracie. I know you're very busy these days. By the way, have you got your Christmas shopping done?
My Christmas shopping, Ted? Oh, sure. It's all done except buying the presents.
Gracie, why don't you buy your Christmas presents after Christmas?
Well, that's what I'm going to do. On account of you don't know what people need until the day after Christmas.
I know I'm heading for a headache.
Now, for instance, after I get a present from a girlfriend, I can tell what she needs.
Mm.
Now, if she gives me a handbag,
yes,
then I know she doesn't need a handbag. Because if she needed a handbag, then why did she give it to me?
That's a good idea.
I know. I made it up.
You ought to have it stuffed.
I ought to have a stuff what? The handbag?
No, your head.
Oh. I don't get it.
You don't, Henry,
you look at my face and you do not know who she is?
Henry, that was last week, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Can't step out of character.
Hey, Henry, what are you going to give the boys in your band for Christmas?
Oh, I don't know, Gracie. What do you suggest?
Music lessons.
Not a bad idea. Good idea. Gracie, what are you going to give me for Christmas?
Well, George, did you see those star sapphire cufflinks down at the jeweler's?
You mean the ones set in platinum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think Tony Martin would like them?
You're giving Tony Martin star sapphire cufflinks? What about me?
Oh, I think he'd rather have cufflinks.
Cutlinks?
Cufflinks.
You mean cut glass. You do,
It's awfully sweet of you, Gracie. Yeah. But Alice Faye bought me some cufflinks for my birthday.
Ah, the copycat.
Copycat.
Hello. Who? Oh, just a minute. Gracie, a phone call for you, and the party says it's very important.
Oh, well, it's probably the sponsor.
Oh, the sponsor.
I guess he wants to know whether Tony Martin is through this week or next week.
Never mind about Tony. Just answer the phone.
All right. Hello, Mr. Chicken Soup.
Mr. Chicken Soup?
Yeah, quiet,
it's a cute first name.
What's that?
Sam Chicken Soup.
It's who? Now, you have to speak clearly. I don't recognize your voice. No, I don't remember meeting you. No, you must have the wrong party.
Will you let me answer the phone? Hello. Who? Just a minute, Gracie, it's your mother.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Mother. I didn't know you were sponsoring this program.
If it's your mother, she's probably sponsoring a pat itself for your daddy.
Now, please, Judge, Mother can't hear what she's saying.
She's lucky.
What? No, that was George Burns, Mother. George Burns. No, Burns. Look, Mother, if you light a match to the gas stove, what does it do? Oh, nothing? Oh, the gas is shut off?
Gracie, find out what she wants.
What, Mother? Oh, you're wrapping the Christmas presents. Oh, goody. What's that? Oh, you want to know whether you should wrap them now or wait until you buy the presents?
Gracie, don't make a quick decision. That takes a lot of thought.
Well, not for me, George. What, Mother? Oh, you don't know whether to buy the presents now or wait until you get money?
That's an idea. I think she'd better wait a little bit.
Well, Mother, why don't you borrow the money till Daddy gets home? What? Oh, nobody will loan you the money for 20 years. Oh.
Why don't you tell her to ask the warden, Gracie?
Yeah, well, goodbye. Oh, by the way, Mother, how's Unky today? He's still dead, huh? Well, that's good. Goodbye.
Well, that was a nice hunk of dialogue.
Now, where was I?
You were in a jewelry store picking out cufflinks for Tony Martin that Alice Faye has already picked out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
George, the next time I see Caruso, remind me to ask him if he'd like to sing on this program.
Gracie, Caruso is dead.
Well, all right, then you ask him.
Look, there's one thing I'd like to explain to you. Tony Martin doesn't feel like coming up here at night and making love after making love at the studio all day.
Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
Now, Gracie, this morning I spent the entire morning kissing Simone.
Oh, the poor kid. You must be tired. Take me in your arms and tell me all about it, Tony.
Yeah, he's all in, yeah.
Well, I rehearsed the love scene with her 20 times.
Oh, what you need is a rest, Tony. Let me sit in your lap.
Tony, so Simone kissed you 20 times. I'd like to do that.
Well, go ahead, George. I'll hold them for you, and then you can hold them for me.
Tony, why don't you get Gracie into one of your pictures?
I'll bet I'd be great as a heroine.
Yeah, because heroin is a dope.
Oh, please, George.
And after kissing Simone all afternoon, I did nothing but hug and kiss Janet Gaynor.
You spent all morning making love to Simone, and all afternoon hugging and kissing Janet Gaynor?
Yeah.
Oh, just my luck to be on the night shift.
Sing for me.
And the sun's descending in the west once more. Night is falling, I can hear love calling on the dear old Mississippi shore. Everybody knows that it's just a muddy river, but it seems like heaven on high. When the moon is shining bright, let me dream away the night where the lazy river goes by. the river, you and me. Everything is still all along the Mississippi. Ain't no one as happy as I. Oh, I never want to roam. Let me live and make my home where the lazy river goes by. Swing on out, Henry. Come on, get on those blacks and whites. Truck me on down. Yes, yes. Everybody knows that it's just a muddy river, but it seems like heaven on high. When the moon is shining bright, let me dream away the night where the lazy river goes by. Get you away, let us be just the river, you and me. Everything is still all along the Mississippi. Ain't no one as happy as I. Oh, I never want to roam. Let me live and make my home where the lazy river goes by. Where the lazy, lazy river goes by.
By from the picture with a banjo on my knee. Tony, you're swell.
Thanks, George.
Well, Gracie, how did you like Tony Martin?
Oh, I think he's beautiful.
Yeah, he's pretty. You know, Gracie, what do you want Santa Claus to give you for Christmas? Would a stocking hold all you want?
Well, no, but a pair of Tony Martin socks would.
I say. Well, that's if he's got a pair of socks. Yeah.
Well, now just think. 2 more days and it'll be December 25th.
Yeah.
A week later, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
7 weeks from then, Washington's birthday.
Mm.
5 months after that, 4th of July.
Well,
well, well, well. Half of next year gone already, and it isn't even Christmas yet.
Mm.
Time certainly flies, don't you think so?
Yes, I think so. Gracie, you forgot April Fool.
I'm coming to you, George.
Thank you.
Thank you. Some people like Christmas, but personally, I like Labor Day much better than Easter on account of the Christmas trees.
Mm. You have Christmas trees on Labor Day?
Mm-hmm.
Then what will you have on Christmas?
Well, I'll take the same as you do, George, only more ginger ale than mine.
I don't know what you're doing for Christmas, but I'm having a poor family for dinner.
Well, that's nice. We're having turkey.
Well, that's kind of different. Certain with stuffing, yes.
Yeah.
I love that turkey stuff.
You know...
Take it easy. Just give it up.
Even...
Just speak right up. Atta girl, Chrissy.
Oh, George, let me talk.
Oh, yes.
If it weren't for one thing, I could sit under the mistletoe and kiss Tony Martin to my heart's content.
And what's the one thing?
Well, who wants to spend a dime for mistletoe?
Hmm. Well, Tony, Gracie's got a mat on.
Gracie, let's cut that out. I don't want to start talking about kissing the minute I get down to work.
Well, that's what I say. Let's cut out the talking and get down to work.
In the first place, kissing is unhealthy. Isn't that right, Henry?
I don't know.
You don't know? You've never been kissed?
I've never been sick.
Is that so? Well, you certainly fooled me, because you look bad.
Tony Martin, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
You mean you're going to fire me off this program?
Oh, worse than that. I'm going to make you act in my Christmas play. And I'm going to do it sometime pretty soon right now.
You're going to do a Christmas play sometime pretty soon right now?
Yeah, almost quicker than immediately.
Well, let's not act hastily.
Well, I think that's going to be swell, Gracie. Is it another historical play?
No, Ken. It's a sort of a kind of a special Christmas play I wrote called Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Oh, I must be wrong. I thought Dickens' Christmas Carol was written by Dickens.
That's what he thought, too.
That's what who thought, Dickens?
No, Carol. Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, I know him very well. A tall fellow with
him?
A face, he says.
Well, don't be silly, George. Christmas Carol isn't a him. It's a her.
A her?
Belle Carol's sister.
Oh, Carol's sister, yes. Very cute, too. Gracie, who's who in the screwy play of yours?
Well, George, you're playing the part of Scrooge, the stingy old miser.
Well, I don't think I'll be able to read the script because miser saw.
Oh, please,
I knew it was bad. I didn't like it. Oh, is that so? Thank you. All right, so I'm Scrooge.
Yeah, but we'll call you Scroogey Poogey.
Scroogey Poogey. Thanks.
And boys.
Yep.
Boys, you play the three ghosts.
The three ghosts, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. Because this is a ghost-to-ghost program, huh?
That's right, Ken. The Pacific Ghost, the Atlantic Ghost, and it just goes to show you.
And we all act in this play, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know the play, Gracie. We're the three ghosts that come to haunt Scrooge.
Right, Tony. Ken?
Yep.
You're the ghost of the past. Henry?
Yep.
You're the ghost of the present. And Tony?
Yes?
Yeah, oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, Tony, you can't be the ghost of the future.
Why not?
Well, because the way you've been behaving, I'm afraid you haven't got a future on this program.
Oh, say it.
Do you follow me, Tony?
Yes, I follow you, Gracie.
Well, you better stop following me, Alice. They'll get awfully angry.
Mm. All right, Gracie, and what part do you play?
I'm Mrs. Fezziwig.
Mrs. Fezziwig?
Yes.
Who is Mrs. Fezziwig?
Well, she's the wife of Mr. Fezziwig and the mother of all their fuzzy little toupees.
Fuzzy little toupees. Hair, hair. Mm. And what do you do in this play?
Well, as long as the boy's a ghost, I have to be the ghostess.
Ghostess? You mean you're a lady ghost?
No, dance hall ghostess.
Henry, the music.
Gracie Allen's masterpiece, Dickens' Christmas Carol. Conceived, written, directed, produced, released, presented, and sponsored by Gracie Allen.
Yeah, and I'm pretty, too.
Quiet.
Now, remember, George, you're Scrooge the Miser.
Yes.
All your life, you've hoarded jokes. And on Christmas Eve, the ghosts of the past, present, and future of radio come back to haunt you.
I see. They're still haunting for their jokes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And I'm Mrs. Fezziwig, the widow lady. And when the scene opens, you're at home in the attic, and I'm trying to get you to donate some jokes to the starving masters of ceremony.
Well, this is going to be a nice play.
Yes. Ken the Cat.
All right.
Ebenezer Scrooge, the mean old miser of the airways, George Burns. Mrs. Loudspeaker Fezziwig, the nitwit of the network, Gracie Allen. The ghost of the past.
Oh! Something he ate, I guess.
Ken Niles, the ghost of the present. Tony Martin, the ghost of the future. Henry King, time midnight, Christmas Eve. Curtain.
Are you ready, ghost?
Yes.
Music.
A haunting we will go. A haunting we will go. A haunting we will go.
Go ahead, George. Ask.
So this is Christmas Eve. And everybody is happy. I am not happy. They call me Ebenezer Scrooge, the joke miser.
What fools people are to be happy on Christmas Eve. I sure feel sorry for all the poor masters of ceremonies on a cold night like this without a joke on their backs. Come in and close the door. Close the door. It's chilly outside.
Well, Scroogey-Poogey, if I close the door, will it make it warmer outside?
It's a nasty snowstorm outside. I'm chilled to the bone.
Well, it serves you right for going without a hat.
That's very funny, Mrs. Fezziwig. I'll put that away with the rest of my jokes. 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 Shades of Al Jolson, Mrs. Fezziwig. Do you see this ghostly figure wrapped in a sheet?
Oh, yes, Scrooge. It's either Mahatma Gandhi or a man without Mahatma coat and the vest.
Quiet. Speak, ghostly guest. Who are you? What brings you here?
Who am I? Where I play folks pack in to hear my wife cracking on radio. I won renown. There's no use in guessing. My name I'm confessing.
Who?
The mayor of Mexico.
Well, what brought you here?
I've come to haunt you, Scrooge, for stealing my jokes, you know?
You know? I don't believe you're any candor. All I can see is an empty sheet.
Yeah, Eddie, where did you park your carcass?
Don't haunt me, Eddie. I'm Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm an old man. Look at me. I'm all bent over.
Yeah, from lifting everybody's joke.
Oh, that's Ted Lewis? Hush, hush.
You've stolen my best joke. I've got a goat in my house who hasn't got a nose.
Sleepy Hollow. And who are you?
Hello again. I'm the ghost of Jack Benny. Yeah.
Sounds like the goat of Jack Benny. You don't look like Jack Benny.
Well, George, if you were dead as long as Tony Martin, you wouldn't look like Jack Benny either, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Eddie Cantor. Well, Eddie, what are you doing all dressed up in a sheet?
Well, it's like this, Jack. This sheet has cut down the high cost of living. By wearing a sheet, I don't have to buy a suit, a collar, or a necktie. When I come home at night in a sheet, I'm ready for bed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm already in a sheet. And instead of expensive cleaning and pressing bills, I can have my sheet washed for 22 cents a pound. Ha! And don't I have to look for a collar button? No, no. Ha ha! You get it, Jimmy?
This is silly, Cantor, isn't it?
Wonderful, Ken. You ought to be able to give an imitation of Harpo Marx.
Well, but Gracie, Harpo Marx can't talk.
I know.
Gracie, what's Eddie Cantor got that I haven't got?
Five daughters.
Well, Buck Benny, what do you want?
Scrooge, I'm here to haunt you. You stole my joke, a joke that I originated, a joke that made me famous. We've got a goat at our house without a nose. How does it smell?
Terrible, Jack. I used it on my program, too.
Quick, Mrs. Fezziwig, the pencil. It sounds like a new one. Joke. Jokes, jokes, jokes.
Ha, ha, ha.
Well, sort of a cassette. Well, who are you?
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Town Hall tonight.
Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen.
Well.
You can knock me down with an elephant, as the man in the kosher butcher shop used to say. I hope to kiss a pig if it isn't Portland Fezziwig.
Nice work, Henry.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised myself. I must be a mimic.
What?
You must be a mimic.
You're a mimic? You mean you haven't any red corpuscles?
Well, Freddie Allen, have you come to haunt me about the goat at your house that hasn't got a nose?
No, not only am I a comedian, I'm a clever writer. I switched that joke. We've got a nose at our house that hasn't got a goat.
Some twist. A nose that's a nose without a goat?
Well, maybe it's Jimmy Durante.
Jimmy Durante, the nose miser.
Oh, wait. We've got a goat that's got a nose, but we've got a house that hasn't got a yard.
Well, if you've got a house that hasn't got a yard, how does the goat play?
Like Henry King.
The pencil. Jokes, jokes, jokes. What's that?
The ghost of Major Bo's gong.
Well, it didn't have a very good ring.
Well, you miser, what do you want for nothing? The Westminster chimes?
Oh, that's a very good joke, Mrs. Fezziwig, for this chime of the year.
Oh, careful, Scrooge. giving away those jokes, they'll be calling you Good Chime Charlie.
Good Chime Charlie! That's a beauty.
Scrooge, before I go, you can do me a few favors.
Yes, Jack Benny. What favors would you like?
Strawberry, raspberry, orange, lemon, lime.
And Campbell's chicken soup.
Thanks, Gracie.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
Well, goodbye, Jack Benny.
Goodbye, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Goodbye, and a Merry Livingston to you, too.
Well, Eddie Cantor, I've got every joke you ever used. I'm living on the fat of the land.
The fat of the land? Well, you must have Jack Bernard, too.
I've got him.
Well, I can't expect a joke from a miser like you, but I thought you might at least give me a little pun. Goodbye.
Oh, isn't that cute, George? Eddie Cantor's got 5 daughters, and now he's looking for a little pun.
Jokes. Well, Freddie Allen, aren't you going back to town hall?
No, I'm going nuts.
Well, you're lucky, Fred. Everyone else has a long trip ahead of them.
Goodbye, Freddie.
Goodbye.
Tally ho! Tally ho!
Henry, the music. Now Gracie will sing I Love You from Coast to Coast. Sing it, Gracie.
I love you has been said in so many ways. It's hard to find something new. Still I tried and I managed to coin a phrase in praise of you. It's my ambition to audition for a swell radio post just to tell you I love you.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from December 23rd, 1936 on CBS. And that brings to an end this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.